So we left off trying to understand the principle that at first glance doesn't seem to be so complicated. The principle is called Smoch Yud al Chazaka. We have a road that's pointing in one direction. We have a Chazaka status quo pointing in the other direction. Where do you go from here? So the Gemara does have this principle called Smoch Yud al Chazaka. But sometimes you can, the Mir, which is, we would have thought was negated by the road, but the Mir is still around. It can join forces with the chazaka. It can actually overturn the rov. The Gemara does have that principle spoken with the chazaka, but the only times that it appears explicitly in the Gemara is within the world of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says it explicitly in the Sefer Kedushin, in a few places, the principle called smoch miyuta lechazaka. The question that we left hanging was, do we accept that? Did the chachamim ever subscribe to that principle spoken with the chazaka? That's a very simple, straightforward question. Smoke. Let's join together. Smoke. Let's lean together the miut with the chazaka. Do the rabban accept this concept in halacha at all? So we had a ray of gemaras flying in all directions about this topic, and this was critical for our sugya because how do we get onto this topic in the first place? Our gemara seems to say that you don't have to worry about that small percentage of people who are not writing Git Lishma. It's not a real concern. Why is it not a real concern? Doesn't the woman have a chazaka? She has a cheskes eishes ish. She used to be married. Now we have the miut of Git that may not be kosher. Let those two forces join together and overturn the rov. That's what should be playing out in Agamara. And Agamara seems to ignore it. Agamara seems to say, no, that's not a problem. Nothing to worry about that, at least according to the view of the Chachamim. Again, with the Rabbanon, with the Takonos, with Farnech, that's all true after the fact. That's not really our topic. We want to know what was the real did, what the did really should have been. So the simple reading of the Gemara is smoking the Chazaka doesn't play a role. The problem is there are a whole array of Gemaras that seem to, yes, support the idea of smoking the Chazaka. So for example, we had the Gemara Masech of the Chorus that we spoke about a lot on Wednesday, when we have an animal. And we're not quite sure whether this animal has given birth yet. And the odds are it probably has. And therefore, we probably don't have a Bechor problem. What leads us to believe it probably has given birth? It's producing milk. As our doctors have told us, a group of the overwhelming majority of animals that are producing milk most probably already had a baby sometime in the past. But on the other hand, says Rabbi Adam, there is a chazaka. The chazaka being the status quo. As the status quo that the animal, when it was born, had not yet given birth. So now you have these two factors all mixed with the children. You have a rove pointing, that's probably okay. You have a chazaka pointing, it's probably not okay. And you have a miut that's now supporting and joining force with the chazaka. So Rabbi Natan claims that the Gemara's conclusion is a cholaveda poter. And the reason for that is because smoke miut chazaka. That's one you have to keep on the back burner. So we already have two complicated sugya. We already have Kitten Daf Beis, our sugya. We have a Seches of Bechoros Daf Chof. Then we had other cars that's thrown into the mix. We had a Gemara at the end of a Seches of Bamos that talks about a scenario where a Rachel is sitting home and her husband went off with the co-wife of the Tzara of Dina Sayam, and several years have passed and she gets the message that the husband died and we have no idea. Did the Tzara already have a baby? Has sometime in the last 2-3 years as a Tzara had a baby? The Gemara goes through all the calculations as well. The odds are she probably did. Young, healthy woman, so she probably had a baby in the last couple of years. That's a row. On the other hand, the woman who stayed behind, Rachel, has a chazaka that she cannot marry outside. Because when the story started, she was the kukul yibum potentially. So the chazaka is against her. The rov is in our favor. And now we say, smoke with the chazaka. The Gemara seems to say it's a problem that we do accept smoke with the chazaka. So now we have three Gemaras to complicate this mix. We have, once again, our Gemara. It seems to deny smoke with the chazaka. We have the Gemara Bechoros that seems to accept it. We have the Gemara Yevamos that seems to accept it. And we have a fourth Gemara. The Gemara Mishnah's Kedushin about the baby and the dough. The Gemara says that the baby is holding onto the piece of dough, and we're trying to figure out, was the baby metame the dough or not? So once again, the rove is probably yes, because most babies play with the dead mice and the dead lizards. They're probably tame. The dough had a cheskas tahara. It used to be tahar. Should we say smoke b'lechazocha and salvage the dough? So the Rabbanan said no. The Rabbanan said you follow the rove. So just in case we're not confused until now, we have four Gemaras. That's the bottom line. We have four different sugars and shots that are converging together. Two Gemaras seem to be ignoring smoke with the Chazacha. Two Gemaras seem to be accepting smoke with the Chazacha. What do we make? How do we make any sense of this entire picture? So that's pretty much where we left off. So yeah, it looks like a simple sugya, by far not a simple sugya. So on Wednesday, we spoke a little bit about Rabbi Tam's view. Rabbi Tam's basic solution to this entire problem is a very simple solution. Me'ikar hadin min haTorah, we don't accept the principle of smoking the Chazaka. We follow Rove, the Pasuk Chumash, Rove carries the day. Midirabanan, when it works against you, we're going to make a Chumra of smoking the Chazaka. Therefore, in the case of the milk, it's going to work against you. It's not, in the case of Yevamos, it's going to work against you. We're not going to use it for you to save the dough, because quite frankly, since we're made a dam, it's not a dim in haTorah. It's only a chumra midrabanan. It's not a kula, it's a chumra midrabanan. So according to Rabbi Tam, all the Gemaras make sense, but many, many Rishonim don't accept Rabbi Tam. So what other solutions do we have to this dilemma? If we take a look at the 11th of the Mamre Kamos, the long, long Rashba on the topic, we're going to just put up the last couple of lines of the Rashba. It's the bold print of the Rashba at the very end, 11th of the Mamre Kamos. You have to go 119 blot into your bumps to get to this Rashba. So comes the Rashba and says, a couple of lines on the bottom. The old Yeshni Lomar, the shiny high miyuta dehocha, the miyut of the women who are potentially not having babies, this miyut is different. We should the high miyuta mara harov mamish, I mean harov atamisalgoi. Says the Rashba, this rove, remember the rove was most women become pregnant and going to have babies, and some women are going to miscarry. So says the Rashba, that miut, some women are going to miscarry, that comes from the rove and it removes the rove. So just in case you're not sure what the Rashba says, he says the next word that is a dead giveaway that he knows you don't know what he's talking about, kloma. When you say the word kloma, that means what I just said is not 100% clear. Let me clarify, kloma. Says the Rash response. Let's very, very carefully highlight what the rove, what the miut are in the end of the second sentence. The rove is most women become pregnant, and the miut is some women who become pregnant miscarry. Says the Rashba, even the miut acknowledges that the rove is kind of there. The miut's not totally ignoring the rove. The miut's saying, yes, you're a rove, but even when you're a rove, you're not going to solve the world's problems. You know why? Because just simply becoming pregnant is not the answer to the Yibum dilemma. It's becoming pregnant, carrying the pregnancy, and giving birth to a live child. That's what's going to remove the obligation of doing Yibum Chalitza. So the miut turns to the rove and says, I'm asking to you. I know that you exist. Rove women are misabros. But even within your rove, you're not so perfect. You're not so shtak. You're not so strong. I mean, harove et amisalto. The miut will admit the existence of the rove, and then it will chisel away at that rove itself. That's a very, very powerful kind of a rove.
It's still an enormous rove.
Oh, hold on.
You don't know what the infant mortality
is. 100%, right.
We know the maternal mortality was about 25%.
That's right, infant was probably higher. 100% right. This is not an absolute world of statistics. It's absolutely right. We don't know the number. We don't know the answer to any of these numbers. But these are all what we call Rubit de Leisa Kamans. Leisa Kamans means we don't have the absolute numbers. We just, it's almost like, you know, like empirical evidence, that's what the phrase is, that we look around and we see most women become pregnant. We look around and we see there are a lot of miscarriages taking place in the old days for sure. So those numbers are not exact, it's not an absolute rocket science, but we're still comfortable making these assumptions. We have a rope, we have a mute, but the relationship between the mute and the rope is such that the miut is megareya as a rov, because it is chiseling away at the rov proper. But
yes.
At every rov is an Arabian. Oh, no, not so simple. But the Rashba continues. But in other cases, of al hasam, like the case of the baby, so let's think, what's the rov, what's the miut? The rov is that this baby touched a dead mouse. The miut is this baby did not touch a red mouse, a dead mouse. It's early in the morning. The miut is saying, you rov are wrong. You rov don't exist. So the miut is coming on hard and strong against the rov. So a miut that's saying you don't exist, the rov turns around, so to speak, really don't exist. Is it a rov? Is it 85%, 90%, 92%? Nobody did a study on how many babies touch dead mice, but we look around and we see babies poshing around the garbage. So we're pretty confident that there is such a rov that babies play around the garbage. Says the Rashba, when you have a miut that's trying to take the rov head on, that kind of a miut doesn't exist. That kind of a miut is commandalisa. You don't then take that miut and say, let's combine that together with chazaka. But when the miut has been megareya the rov, the miut is chiseled at the rov, the miut has weakened the rov, a rov that has been weakened by a miut that has acknowledged its existence and still said that it's not efficient, that kind of a rov has weakened to the point it's going to lose out to a smoke with the chazaka. That's the Rashba
side. It's not like it's weakened. It's like it's either or it's both of them can't exist.
That's right. So when you have like the rov and the miut for the babies, either the baby touched the mouse or it didn't touch a mouse. There's no ands and buts. Yes or no. It's A or B. Whereas in the case of the pregnancy, it's possible that even though the woman became pregnant, she's still not home free.
But becoming pregnant is not relevant.
Oh, Ari asked the million-dollar question. Why? You're a mechavel to the kasha. All my talmidim, we learned the sugya a few weeks ago in yeshiva, all talmidim jumped and said, Rebbe, what's the Rashba talking about? Who cares whether the woman became pregnant? What matters is the baby, the woman have a baby. That's all that really matters. So just turn around and then say, either she had a baby or she didn't have a baby. Very good, excellent. Oh, very good, phenomenal. So I think the answer to that question is as follows, is that when you pass the Hebrew and Chalitza question, the existence of the pregnancy itself is relevant in Halacha. The Sugi is about that, the fourth paragraph of Yevamos, when a woman is pregnant, there's no Hebrew and Chalitza at that point, because she's omedes lekach to potentially become keturah b'yibum. You can't ignore the pregnancy. You can't say the pregnancy, oh, that's an irrelevant time in the yibum scheme of things. The pregnant woman is very rough. To such an extent, as one day in the word that says, let's say you have a woman who's pregnant, and she goes ahead, and by mistake, she does a chalitza, and then she miscarries. So some will say that the chalitza is no good. The chalitza is reverse lav shma chalitza. We pass like that. Why is that? Because chalitza and pregnancy don't mix. So the shiloh of a yibum is really more of a pregnancy question than a birth question. It's true that if at the end of the day she miscarries, we're going to have to send her back never for chalitza. But you can't ignore that state of pregnancy. So the ibur, the state of being uberus, is in a sense what we're being down on right now. So comes the Rashba to this, aval hasam, over there means the case of kedusha, the case of the baby. The baby touching the dough. It's a meal that takes the rov head on. Now the Rashba says, and I'll prove to you that my yisod is right. The dugmaso hacha. Now me meal to enemies abros eno chashvet starf. I no chashvet hacha. How come the Gemara didn't say the following? How come the Gemara didn't say, here's the rov? The rov is most women become pregnant and some women don't become pregnant. Why did the Gemara say some women miscarry? What do you have to bring a miscarriage into the equation? The Gemara just simply said, most women become pregnant and some don't. The answer is, says the Rashi, that would have done the trick. Because if you would have phrased the rov like that, that would have been a meal that's taking the rov head on. And when you're taking the rov head on, you lose. And you can no longer join forces with the smoke mutual chazaka, and that wouldn't have accomplished what the Gemara tried to accomplish. The Gemara Yevamos is trying to say the woman is asura because of smoke mutual chazaka. The only way to present that miut as a valid miut to join forces with the chazaka is to phrase it as follows: rove women become pregnant, And some of those women who become pregnant miscarry. If you phrase it based on the pregnancy proper, the meat loses out. If you phrase, like Ari said, on the birth proper, the lack of birth loses out. The only way, right smack in the middle, to phrase this role with miut is to work with the assumption most women become pregnant, and within those women become pregnant, some miscarry. That's a rash, because you say that, you say this in terms of the sugya. So now we have, again, we have four sugyas. Sometimes the Gemara says it, sometimes the Gemara doesn't say it. It says the Rashba, plug in that piece of information. That's all that matters. So now we have a machlekes from one extreme to the other. Rabbeinu Tam says, min haTorah, we never say smoke with chazafa. Mid Rabbanan, we always say aluchoma. That was Rabbeinu Tam's solution to the four Gemaras. The Rashba's solution to the four Gemaras is that sometimes you say it, sometimes you don't say it, depending on the unique relationship of the miut's existence in the world of the robe itself. Is there anything else we could do? One last shot to try to solve this problem. So the Rashba, before he came up with his Shtickl Torah, he quotes from the Ramban. Back to the 11th of the Ramakomos. Comes in the end of the first set of bold lines, two lines from the Ramban, that Kosva Ramban's out. The Ramban also asks the same kasha. How come in the end of Yevamos, in the Yibum case, we say smoch mit lechazava, and how come in the baby case we don't? So kasev Rambanzal, the hasam hachikar minu. What the Gemara meant to say in the case of the baby touching the dough, miyuta lo chashiv kulehai v'tzirufei gabe chazaka l'tayer ela adai and harov machria v'tomei litlos bilvad v'lo l'shrov k'edim in hasam esar yuchsin zui chazaka shesafir l'asachim. So the Ramban is alluding to a little bit further than the Gemara Masechet Kedushin, but the Ramban interpreted the Gemara to mean as follows. Yeah. Says the Ramban, when we say Rov, that the Rov, okay, this is a, I didn't realize how excited this Ramban gets. It's a drum roll. The Ramban says, Rov babies are Tomei, and don't hachle with smoking the Chazaka. We thought that meant, oh, that's a Dimana Torah, and we don't say Spoken Chazaka, we ignore it. Says Ramban, relax for a minute, says Ramban. Go back to that Gemara and see, what do we do with this dough exactly? We just paskin this grandiose psach, we follow Rove, and the dough is Tomei, it's Tomei, Tomei. The Gemara says, by the way, if this dough is Truma, you're not allowed to burn that dough so fast. You're not allowed to destroy Truma, you're not allowed to burn Truma Tahora. You're only allowed to burn Truma if and when it became Tomei. If something only became Tomei, Bitara Safek, we have no right to burn that dough so fast. We have no right to burn that truma. Because to burn truma is an iser, the only matter to burn truma, if it's tameh b'taras vada. Says the Ramban, but the Gemara says in Kedushin, don't burn that dough so fast. What the Gemara is basically saying is that we don't really know what the halacha is. We're not convinced that you absolutely follow a rove against the smoke which goes up. That's not true. Says the Ramban, min ha-Torah, the dough is tahora. You know why? Because of, guess what? Smoke mit l'chazofa. The din de araisa is smoke mit l'chazofa. The din de rabbanan is not to say smoke mit l'chazofa. The din de rabbanan is to say follow rove. Proof positive, says the Ramban, that the whole rove in that story of the dough is only a chumra. It's only a din de rabbanan. That's exactly why we don't burn the dough. It is the exact antithesis, opposite of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said, min haTorah, for sure you follow rove, but the rabbanan, you say smoke mit l'chazofa. According to Manoiro, in a Torah, you say spoke with Chazaka, and with the Rabbanon, we're going to be machmir not to eat the dough, not to burn it either, not to eat the dough, and we're going to treat it as a sofek hashokol. That's what the Rabban's line is, that the rove is machriya litlos bavavalo misrof. So according to Rabban, that's the answer to all the world's questions. We want to know why the end of Yevamos, you say spoke with Chazaka, that's the din. That's the din deraisa. You want to know why in Kedusha we don't say it? That was a chumam with the Rabbanon. So we have now three different versions, actually four different versions in the Rishonim. What do we do with smoke with the Chazaka? From the simple reading of the Gemara condition, we ignore it. The Gemara in the end of Yavama seems to subscribe to it. What do we do with that piece of information? So Rashi from Wednesday said the Gemara in Yavama was only Rabbi Meir talking. It wasn't even the Rabbanan talking. Going to Rashi, number one, Shita number one, we never, ever, ever say smoke with Chazaka. It's a discussion. According to Rabbeinu Tam, we always say it as a Chumam mit the Rabbanan. According to the Rashba, we say it sometimes yeah and sometimes no, depending on what you think the piece of this puzzle are. And according to the Ramban, we always say it min haTorah, And then sometimes with the Rabbanim, we're not going to say it as a, when that turns out to be a Chumrah. So your choice, you can just feel good whether we understand every single sheet, everything, but just know that we're asking the same questions that Rashi, Rabbi Adam, the Rashba, and the Ramban all dealt with. Every one of these Rishonim had to deal with all four of these Gemaras to try to make sense out of what's going on.
Doesn't every case of Ruba?
That's right, correct. That's exactly the point. That's exactly our question. That's really the question, ultimately. The Gemara tradition says Ruba Chazav, Ruba Adif. So what does that mean? So according to Rashi, that is the emes. The Gemara Yivamos doesn't exist for all practical purposes. According to Rabbi Natan, the rice of the Ruba Chazav, Ruba Adif, the Rabbanan, you know. According to the Rashi, it depends on when the meal is Megarela Rovana. And according to the Ramban, in Achanami, Ruba Chazav Ruba doesn't really exist. It's a Chumra Midir Rabbanan to say Ruba Chazav Ruba Adif. Those are the four Malachim. But the question is, where does that place us in Maseches Gittin? So we're in a little bit of a pickle in Maseches Gittin, because we have to go back for the seventh time now to the first of the Malachim. Well, it had a reputation of the Chorus had a reputation in terms of Chol HaPoter. The Ramah quote, the Machlekes of Rishon, the Chorus is Chol HaPoter now. So that issue ultimately depends on the Shemen Atam and these different shittas in Rishonim. It's good. It does. I mean, you want to know to play out every Tuesday in the rabbi's phone calls? No, but it's an important halakha principle that could sometimes be a player in certain childhoods. Yeah. So let's go back again to the first amendment. So Gemara, how do we get into this discussion in the first place? We're trying to figure out whether we could just follow the rule of most kitten are written Shema and quote the day, or do we have to say, no, not so simple. Maybe we have to be chashuv for the meal. So the goal of our Gemara was to say that minatori are good to go. Minatori, you don't have to worry about anything, and therefore the whole b'farinech was only a chumah midrabanan, and therefore we let you get away with one day. That was the whole trajectory of the Gemara. We're halfway through December, and that's what we're trying to solve. We're trying to solve the one dinner we've learned. Not even a whole Mishnah. We've learned one line of Mishnah so far this year. I maybe get Sakshav Farnech. Don't feel bad. We've a lot of things along the way. But I maybe get Sakshav Farnech by Nechtam. We're just trying to understand how the Eidecha gets to be believed. So the Gemara said, why is it believed? Because of Rov. So let's go back to the first of the Ramakamas. Vafil Rabbi Meir Dechashtamiyut. The Gemara all of a sudden wakes up and says, according to Rabbi Meir, we have a problem. Because Rabbi Meir is not a big believer of Rov. The implication of the Gemara is obvious that according to the Rabbanon, the game is over. According to the Rabbanan, everything's good in the Torah. There's nothing at all to worry about. Let's stop for a second. According to the Rabbanan, everything's good. Everything's hunky-dory according to the Rabbanan. There's nothing to discuss. This is only a chumah. Wait, let's stop for a second. This is not just a robe and a miyut. This is a smoke mit b'chazaka. The woman has a cheskes eshes ish. There's a miyut of kitah that are not written properly. This is a recipe for a disaster of a smoke mit b'chazaka. So go quickly through the four sheetahs. According to Rashi says, we don't hold so much. Don't bother me. Rabbi Natan says, I hold it as a chumrah d'rabban. Don't bother me either. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. So d'rabban, don't worry about it. According to the Rashba, what kind of a meal is this? Rove getting a written lishma, and some getting a not written lishma. That's not a megareya mikocha rove. That's not taking the rove and chiseling away. That's an outright confrontation against the rove. So we said the meal, come on, you're done. Your history, you lost. So far, we're good. Three out of four sheep is the Rishonim are good to go. How in the world would the Ramban be this good? According to the Ramban, the Iker me'Iker Adin, smoke mit b'chazak creates a ladies of Sofik mit the Araisa. So what's going on in this Gemara? What does the Gemara mean? Afilu Rabbi Meir, the Chash Minuta. The Gemara should have said, Afilu the Rabbanon, the Chash, the smoke mit b'chazak. There's a missing piece of the Gemara. What's going on? So, that's the bad news. The good news is that the Ramban's Talmud, came to rescue the great Rebbe. There's a sefer that was printed on Maseches Gittin called the Chidush HaRitva. You probably wonder Chidush HaRitva. It's written on a lot of Maseches. The problem is that the Chidush HaRitva that was written on Maseches Gittin was not written by the Ritva. It was a mistake. It was written by another Rishon, and somehow the manuscripts got confused. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, it was assumed it was written on top of it, Chidush HaRitva Maseches Gittin. So that was discovered about 100 plus whatever years ago. That was in fact not true. It was written by a great, great, great Talmid Chacham who came from the same, they spent this from the same time as the Ritva, but it was not the Ritva. The real Chidush HaRitva on Gittin were actually found a little bit later on, but now when they reprinted the Chidush HaRitva on Gittin, so they printed both in the same volume. So if you open up a Ritva on Gittin, the first half is what we call the Chidush HaRitva Mechsev Yahad, those are the real Ritvas, but the one which is actually more popular is the second one, the one that for 800 years was thought to be the Ritva. Who is that mysterious person? It was a man by the name of Rabbeinu Kreskes. Rabbeinu Kreskes was a contemporary of the Ritva. He was a Talmud of the same Rebbe who the Ritva had, the Ra'ah, and the Ra'ah was in turn a Talmud of the Ramban. So it's from, I don't know whether he lived in the Chavusim Ritva or not, or is it the same Shir as the Ritva, but it's the same Tukum, it's the same period, and it's very, very similar style to the Ritva. And that's why for hundreds of years people thought by mistake it was a Ritva. But the Emes is not a Ritva. It's really called Rabbeinu Kreskes. But if every once in a while you see somebody quoting Chidush HaRitva on Maseches Gittin, they may be referring to this. So in the Rabbeinu Kreskes, in Gittin, on the Beis of the Beis, so he quotes from his Rebbe, from the Ra'ah, who was the Talmud of the Ramban. So we know where this is all coming from, where the Rabbeinu Kreskes says as follows, that in Hochinami, that according to the Rabbanon, it really is a problem. It really is an issue of smoking with chazaka. So what's the solution? The same solution the Gemara gives according to Rabbi Meir. At the end of the day, what did the Gemara say according to Rabbi Meir? Let's go back to the eighth time now, to the first of the Ramakrimis. The Gemara says that the rove is so overwhelming, so powerful, that it's not just rove people in the world, right, getting the Shema. Rove dayanim and so from people, their whole job is to write gittin. That's what they do all day. They're not going to know lishma. That's crazy. That's such a mute of the mute. That's what a mute of the mute says. That's a one in a billion chances. And even Rabbi Meir wasn't chazish for that. Says Rabbi Kreskes. And the Gemara said, afilu Rabbi Meir. The Gemara didn't mean to say, afilu Rabbi Meir, velo Rabbanan. What the Gemara meant to say is, even Rabbi Meir, who is usually the unbelievable spoken chazaka person, he is the super duper duper smoker of the chazaka. Even he has no problems here. The Rabbanan, I mean, who said the Rabbanan don't accept him? V-State says the Rabbeinu Kreskes that the Rabbanan don't buy into smoking with chazaka. They also buy into smoking with chazaka. A little bit of a lower version than Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara was playing with us. The Gemara was just saying that even Rabbi Meir, the biggest supporter of all time, smoking with chazaka, even he's fine with this Mishnah. The Rabbanan are also fine. So says Rabbeinu Kreskes, at the end of the day, it's this answer of Stam Sipri Gedayin and Megri Gmiri that is necessary, not just for Rabbi Meir, who we don't follow, it's necessary for us as well. So that's the fourth pshat in Rishon. There's no question in my mind that Rabbeinu Kreskes got this from his Rebbe, who in turn said it because he had to defend his Rebbe, the Ramban, because according to the Ramban was the only one left out in the cold. He was the only Rishon of the previous Sugya that couldn't explain the Gemara Kishuto. So, Habecha Yivcha, you could choose when you learn this line for the ninth time, because of this line tonight, and you want to read it again, it's four words. It's four words. What is the significance of that statement? So, most of the Rishonim, as we say, the Rov of the Rishonim, understood that line Kishuto, that the Rabbanim were not bothered with the Miyotir, i.e., to smoke with the Chazacha, either because they held like Rashi that we don't accept smoking with a finish. Or they have like Rabbeinu Tam tucked away in Bechairis that it's only a Chumad Rabbanan that's not going to bother to be here. Or they have like the Rash for that. It's a meal that's taking the robe head on. So that kind of a meal we ignore. It's only the Ramban who's left out on his own to learn from Taishan his Gemara and his Talmud comes to save him by explaining the Lash Negadim. Where Rabbeinu Kreskes and Ramban leave us is one last akut of the Sugya, which we're going to have to wait till next week to fine tune. But just food for thought. These words, Stam Sipri Gedayin Megri Gmiri, what the Gemara just told us is that this rove is super duper duper. This kind of a rove, you don't mess with this kind of a rove. This is a rove that's going to solve the world's problems, even according to Rabbi Meir. So according to most of the Rishonim, we said, okay, that's nice. In terms of we follow Rabbi Meir, we would have to really, really understand this well. But, you know, if we've been on this thing for the last 2 weeks, then maybe it's time to move on, according to most of the Rishonim. Well, wait a second. According to the Ramban, and now by extension, the Ra'ah, by extension, we're going to crush this. The whole 60 years of Spanish jury now playing out. They took this line of the Gemara with the utmost seriousness. Stam Sabbath is the answer for us also. There's something about this robe that makes it fundamentally different from all the other robes. All the other robes, because it haunts us. It's this robe that gives us a chance to breathe easily. What is about this row? This is just a better. This is 92, and that was 88. This is 97, and that was 84. It's very, very, we don't know what any of these numbers are, as we pointed out. It's all very unscientific rows. So what is it about Stam Sabadan and Big Miri that gives us the ability, not just Rabbi Meir, but gives us the Rabbanan, the Rabbeinu Kreskes, the Ra'on, the Rabban, the ability to breathe easily and say, we don't have to worry about this miyut. So here the Gemara is telling us a phenomenal chiddush within miyuts. Not all miyuts are created equal. And we have to fine-tune off a little bit next week. How do we make that line? How do you measure what parameter do you use to declare that this mute is commandalesa to such an extent that we don't bring it back, want us to smoke with the chazaka, This is going to become potentially very, very relevant for us for Maisa in terms of fine tuning what miyuts are concerned. We are concerned with what miyuts we're not concerned.
So, like, this role has to be not good enough if they're willing to want to make the whole Zayt institution.
Oh, so it's funny because even though this role, So we have to walk a tightrope now. We got to make it an unbelievable role to ignore Smuggler Chazaka. And then turn around and say, "Oh, but by the way, from the Rabbanu, we're still going to be chayshish." Right. So we have a lot of work. Try to come back, try to figure out where this rope fits in, right smack in between the cracks. Good job, Shabbos, everyone. Shabbos. Yeah.